I spoke to the doctor, right?
Oh, yeah.
About some blood tests.
Oh, right.
Well, not some blood tests, my blood test. Yeah, quite. You know, yeah. She wasn't just generally chatting to me about the whole concept of blood tests or other people's blood tests.
It was an exam on blood, yeah.
No, it wasn't. Great. She wanted to ring up and chat through a load of other people's hemoglobin. Anyway, turns out I've got a bit of high cholesterol.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like family history and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, well, you know, how can we sort of treat this? She said, well, there's two options. You can go on tablets,
mm-hmm.
or you can make changes in your lifestyle. And I thought I'd virtuous, you know. I thought, well, I won't do tablets. Don't want any more tablets. I'll make some changes to my lifestyle.
I know.
Rookie mistake, really. Because it turns out that if you do that, you have to make changes to your lifestyle.
Idiot.
I know. So I've got to cut down alcohol and
cheese,
sausages, cheese, all that stuff. Yeah.
There is a reason I've been on statins since I was about 4 years old. Let me tell you.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 284 of the Mid-Faith Crisis Podcast. You're still laughing at the statins.
I hope the podcast is good for your cholesterol levels, listeners.
I don't know about cholesterol. It's probably not good for stress, is it?
And, probably not. You know,
or at least existential dread. That could affect that. Anyway, you just interrupted the intro there.
Yeah, sorry, it's episode 284. I'm Joe Davis, and sitting there over across from me is the lovely Nick Page.
Thank you, hello.
Hello. There you are.
Gosh.
It's easy, isn't it?
That's how to do it.
Just get the episode number right because it's written down in front of you. It's easy, Nick.
Actually, I'm a bit lightheaded at the moment because I'm coming off some other tablets. I don't want this to be about my
seriously?
Medical history.
Yeah, well, can we stop then? I am.
And it's sort of spacing me out slightly. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it could just be the joy of seeing you, actually.
Yes, it probably is. So how are you? I mean, are you, you know, in any danger?
I don't appear to be, given that she said, oh, well, you know, call back in 6 months, see how it goes. So I think it wasn't like, you know, how bad is it, Doc? Well, don't start any long books, you know, or anything like that. So have we got any church notices?
No,
I'm not sure we have.
No, not really, no. No, okay. I haven't got anything to say.
Well, we'll get on to the how are yous, really, then, in that case.
Well, who's going first? How about you? How are you, Nick?
I'll go first. Yes. Well, I've been. We've dealt with some of the health stuff. I'm fine. Went to my friend Perry's Thanksgiving last week in Winchester. Yeah. Packed service. Just wonderful.
It was.
Absolutely wonderful.
I watched it online in the evening. It was good. It was outstanding.
It was joyous. Saw lots of old friends. Met quite a few podcast listeners, which is nice. And met, of course, your lovely daughter.
Yes, indeed.
She was there, so that was nice. Yeah, it was a really joyous event and of a life well lived.
Yes.
You know, really, despite everything.
No doubt about it. Extraordinary. Yeah, it was brilliant.
So it was uplifting.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm just loving this time of year. This is great. Yeah, the Swifts are back.
Yeah.
They came back yesterday.
Fabulous. Yeah.
They've probably been around your area a bit longer, a couple of days longer, but they're back yesterday and house martins out in the fields.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Spotted flycatchers at the bottom of the garden.
Really? Oh, well, now I'm jealous.
Yeah, out in the field.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Well, I looked at one. I thought, that looks like a flycatcher. And then it went up and caught a fly. So I thought, oh, well.
That'd be it, yeah.
What else? Oh, I've been out and about. I've been doing loads of stuff, actually. I've had one of your weekends, really.
Good.
You know, seeing lots of people doing lots of stuff. I bought a tree fern.
Oh, that's lovely. Love a tree fern.
Yeah, so I can kill that off, no problem.
yeah, just forget to water it.
Yeah, and then I know I'm very late to the game.
Yeah.
But Claire and I have discovered Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, yeah,
which
that's
is wonderful.
Good. On Disney. Yeah.
Very much enjoying that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Eurovision. Eurovision's this weekend.
Yes, it is. I should look more excited than I am, probably, but hurrah.
Are you not into Eurovision? I always had you down as a Eurovision-esque person.
No, I remember ABBA winning it. That may well be the last time I watched it, I think. So, but my kids go nuts for it. I mean, the young people now, they love it, don't they? It's extraordinary. So
yes, we do.
So they're coming up for the weekend. So I'll definitely be I'll definitely be watching it. Yeah, come on, Ollie.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but anyway, you know, it's Claire loves it. Claire really enjoys it, and she claps along and does all this stuff. Yeah. So you know, I get into the spirit of it. Yeah. So that's me.
Excellent. Yeah.
And yourself?
Yeah, I mean, reasonably healthy, I think. I'm cross with myself. This is the boring bit. I'm cross with myself for not taking some time off because I should have done, because I'm weary. And, you know, how many times have I got to learn that lesson? Take a break every 5 months. Don't do more than 5 months. I think I'm on about 8 now, so that's crazy. Yeah. So that's a mistake. But what's been great, I'll tell you now, has been cuckoos.
Oh, you did your walk.
I did my walk. The cuckoos showed up, as did the nightingales, as did everything else. It was just lovely. It was such a good thing. And I met new podcast listeners. So hello to all of you. That was so
wonderful.
Oh, what beautiful people. Again, I don't know why I'm ever surprised by this. I'm not really surprised, but our listeners are just top draw. They're just wonderful human beings. So thank you, all of those that turned up. But on that note, now, you know, my theme for the year is churching. And figuring out what church means. Well, here's what I did this week. In a moment when I was fatigued and weary and tired, I just bought the website naturechurching.org. Because I feel like nature churching really sums up what this is about. Because you know, I met with these good people, and we didn't really talk theologically. It's like we were so immersed in the divine as we were immersed in nature at NEP. You didn't really need to talk about it. I mean, there we were, just in awe of nature and birdsong and trees and the green and the. It was so beautiful. Anyway. Nature churching. I think that's what I'm about this year. I think that's where this whole thing is going.
Well, as long as it's not naturist churching, I don't mind.
It's definitely not.
Happy,
it's definitely not that. Other than that, I eventually caught up with The Pilgrimage, the one in North Wales. Interesting, wasn't it? It's great.
Fascinating.
Good to see it. And again, just that sense that there is a real spiritual hunger in nature. People aren't necessarily hungry for the stuff that we used to serve up. but they're definitely spiritually hungry. And, you know, you give them a moment to connect with nature and perhaps more importantly with themselves. And, it's quite profound.
Well, I think it was really interesting. You haven't seen it. It's worth watching because firstly, it shows just, you know, how much people are outside the spiritual language. They don't they don't talk it. They don't use a totally different set of vocabulary. And but as you say, there's a sort of craving there and a connection with the spiritual stuff. I think what it missed was having perhaps a bearded historian standing behind a stone at several points and jumping out and saying, "Well, actually, you've got all your facts wrong."
Yes, exactly. There was a lot of Celtic spirituality in there, wasn't there?
There was a lot of Celtic nonsense. I thought of you. You know, and I felt, you know, it could have done with me leaping out and just berating them, really, because I think that would have helped their spiritual journey.
I found it fascinating. You know, there's the guy going, "Oh, was Jesus a real person?" And there were others making similar sort of comments to that. And old Joe would have judged them and, you know, sort of thought they're a bit stupid or something. I don't know what, but, you know, something horrible. Whereas now I just think, actually, it was so lovely seeing these beautiful people just sort of go a little bit deeper into themselves and learning and discovering. It was really beautiful. It's a good program. And it's only 3 hours of your life because there's only 3 episodes. So,
and it does upend your presuppositions as well. You know, that's the good thing. It's very important that we hear this kind of stuff because we make a lot of assumptions about people, the level of people's theological or Christian knowledge, which is no longer the case.
Do not judge and ye shall not be judged or something like that.
Oh, so who said that?
Me, just now.
Oh, okay. How very Christ-like.
Thank you. Should we get on?
Yes, indeed.
So, well, firstly, I want to say we have had lots of emails in and they are brilliant. And the trouble with getting too many emails in that are brilliant is we don't have time in an episode to get them all. So if I don't read out your email, it's not because we didn't think it was brilliant. It's just that we're saving it for another time and, you know, fitting it in whenever. Or maybe we'd hated it, and or maybe it wasn't brilliant. Or maybe it had a really tricky question in it that we just didn't want to answer.
Much more likely, I think.
Exactly. Anyway, that said, first off, just Cathy sent in an email response to you talking about the news and saying how depressing it was, and she signposted these two websites: Positive News and the Good News Hub. And they are websites. I know it sounds a little bit like a Christian website, but it isn't actually. It is just good news. So it champions just wonderful stories from around the world. And it is a real tonic to the stuff that gets served up on the 10 o'clock TV program. So, yeah, Positive News and Good News Hub. Highly recommend those. And then Marianne wrote in, you'll like this one. Marianne wrote in, she said, "Hi, Joe, reporting live from the front lines of Christian conference worship sessions. So I just had to send you a quick email because I think I stumbled upon the latest edition of What on Earth Are Worship Songs Talking About? So I'm attending a well-known Christian conference this week. Today we sang a song which included the line, 'Cause you've got a lion inside those lungs.'" So that's a lion. Ooh, as in nasty. The animal. Yeah, I know. Well, that's that needs treating. Said, "We also sang a song that included the words, 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in.' You've mentioned this before, haven't you?"
I think I have. Yes. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. But this is how it finished. She said, "We spent 3 whole minutes repeating one word, the word woa. A room full of believers, hands raised, hearts open, and for 3 whole minutes, all we did was repeat one word, woa. Anyway, just thought I'd share these lyrical gems with you both." Best roars, Marion.
Was there a horse loose or something? Shouting. Well, actually, yeah, we have talked about that one, The Water My Enemies Drown, and I can't remember what context, but what a load of old tosh. I do know that having a lion in your lungs. I've looked it up in the past. Yeah, I don't know if it's like, you know, the old Shell thing about putting a tiger in your tank. Do you remember that old advertising slogan? But you know, because I thought, well, you can't really complain, as I have done, about worship songwriters not sort of pushing the boat out or being a bit less cliched if they're going to try something like that.
Sure.
And in the context, the words are so come on my soul, don't be shy, or something like that.
Nice.
And it did remind me a little bit of somebody encouraging someone to do karaoke.
Okay.
You know, don't be shy, get up there, have a sing.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
We should encourage more karaoke as well.
We should. So I don't think it quite worked, but you know, I suppose good on him, whoever he is, for trying something different.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Woa.
Woa, as we all say, yeah.
Okay. Mark wrote in, concerning an email from before. He said, "One of your listeners was getting somewhat concerned about heresy." Do you remember that one?
I think all of our listeners get concerned about heresies, don't they? On a weekly basis.
Someone specifically mentioned it. Okay. And Mark says, "I used to be concerned about believing the right things, and I'm sure many Christians still are. But I now wonder why this matters. There are two main reasons. Firstly, my focus as a Christian is now on trying to follow Jesus as best I can, learning from what he said and did and living a life that makes this earthly life better, both for me and other people. What my opinion is on things like the virgin birth, original sin, or atonement theory, among many things, doesn't influence that focus in any way at all, as far as I can see. And then secondly, I can't believe that God is in effect setting us a theology exam that we need to pass before we're allowed into any future life. What would the pass mark be? 80%? 90%? 100%? And if he is setting an exam, then perhaps he could have made the syllabus clearer so that we knew exactly what it was we needed to learn, rather than being left to sort it out for ourselves and from what other people, often with different ideas, tell us. Mm-hmm. We can't possibly know what all the right answers are, so we're better off not worrying about it. If we could all just get on with trying to live as Jesus taught us, I think we'll all find that is enough." And that's from Mark. Mm. Well said, Mark, I say.
Well, I seem to recall, again, long time ago, Perhaps in the discussion of what our creed was or what our sort of core beliefs were many, many years ago when we started this nonsense, talking about sort of what beliefs is in the foreground and beliefs in the background, things that were really foreground things, really important things, and other stuff that got pushed to the background. And so the foregrounding here of Jesus seems to me exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
But the backgrounding stuff of, you know, a lot of the sort of minutiae, the detail.
Yeah.
A lot of churches seem to focus very much on background stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Or have done. And so exactly that. Yes, and your pass mark is 100%. I think we all know that.
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, you're either predestined to get 100% or not, really. Apparently,
in the
stricter versions.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, Mark, as you would expect, I completely agree with you. The important thing about being a Christian is following Jesus, not knowing loads of great stuff about him and worshipping the right way and having the correct doctrine about who Jesus was. In fact, I've been thinking, can I mention my heresy? Because this might encourage you.
Well, which one?
Well,
I mean, we haven't got time for all of them. It's a short podcast.
I mentioned it to someone on Sunday because it seemed relevant at the time. And the poor person was just giving me a withering, pathetic look. But I've been thinking about Trinity and how, you know, Father, Son and Holy Spirit and what that actually means to me. And so let me try this on you and you can point out what a heretic I am. I think that what it means to me is this. God the Father speaks to me about the creator, the divine as creator. Like you look at the moon and the stars and the sky and the world and you just think, wow, this is no accident. This universe is created. And for me, that's what God the Father speaks of. When I think about God the Son, I don't so much think about Jesus so much as just humanity, how incarnation, how the divine mediates herself to us through human beings. Like we see the divine in loving human beings, in the kindness of human beings, in the wonder of a human being. And I might even extend that a bit further. Perhaps the Son also means all living creatures. I don't know. That's where I'm going. And then the Holy Spirit, as always, the floaty thing, as I think we called it in episode 3 or whatever it was of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. But that to me is still that indefinable, and I want to call it woo-woo of God.
Good.
But it's this sense that God cannot be contained. And sometimes you sense God, the divine. You can't begin to put language upon it. But I think, you know, that for me would, you know, good language might be, well, it's just the Holy Spirit in you, around you, surrounding you, above you, below you. You know, so that's how I'm thinking about Trinity nowadays. Just different ways of explaining still the one thing.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, you failed your exam and you will now be cast into perpetual darkness.
Fair play.
Thank you for your application, though.
Should we move on?
Well, no, I, what we should do, I guess, is do, you know, a floaty thing 2024 episode where we can maybe delve into these
Let's
kinds of things.
Let's do
a bit
that.
More,
I'd love that.
Really. I think it's interesting what you're saying. I think you're coming up against really one of the classic issues of Trinity, which is sort of defining whether each persona does something different or whether they're all the same. And if they are all the same, how is it a Trinity? You know, kind of stuff.
And I think I seem to remember studying heresy at college many years ago, and Unitarianism was one of the heresies we looked at even then. So,
well, there's a thing about heresy. So I mean, you know, in the book on sort of church history that I wrote, the Nearly Infallible thing, I defined heresy as any theological speculation that is not the official theological speculation. you know, because there's a sense in which we're all sort of exploring the mysteries, but we get very, very angry if other people don't quite misunderstand things in the same way that we misunderstand them. You know,
exactly right.
And heresy is theological correctness gone mad. So
That's a good phrase.
But I think the focus on Jesus is right. I've been reading a lot of George MacDonald.
Really? How unlike you.
He will come up a lot over the next few weeks. But he wrote this. He said, "A man may believe all the doctrines of the Bible with his intellect and be only nearer Satan for it."
Wow.
"We can learn what is true only by knowing him who is the truth." You know, and that his idea was, if you know Christ, then all of knowledge opens up to you.
That's brilliant. What an amazingly contemporary quote, because that's basically echoing what Mark was saying. It's Jesus here. That's the big issue.
And yet he was writing in the sort of 1860s or something like that. You know, amazing. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. I agree with you, Mark. Focus on Jesus.
Well, before you know it, you'll get me reading George MacDonald, and that is the beginning of the end. Right. Stephen wrote in and said, "Dear Joe, I was interested in Nick talking about the Jesus prayer, both ignoring the sin a bit, but also talking about the blind man. I read a Pete Rollins book a few years ago where he wrote about Lacan and reading original sin as separation. I probably misunderstood or misrecalled, but I now always think of sin as separation rather than naughtiness. Not in that Jesus fills the gap way, but being out of connection with various things, or separate from various things, I guess. Have mercy on me. Someone who is separated feels more like, because I'm fractured from, you know, XYZ, myself, etc., rather than despite my bacterial status." We are bacteria. "As someone who is currently separated, it feels okay to think that now I know the context, it has made me help me to see at the end. I do need help. I am separated. I would appreciate insight." Not sure that's what Lacan, Rollins or Nick meant, but just thought I'd say. So sin, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, God, one who is separated.
I mean, I think we just have amazing listeners.
Yes.
Really, because to me, I think this is brilliant. I think it's amazing. And I really need to go away and think about it. We've often talked, for example, about salvation as movement towards God, rather than sort of, you know, getting 100% on your exam score kind of thing. As being moving towards God, and maybe therefore you could see salvation as connection,
and
sin as separation. And this is great. I just need to go away and think. I need to go away and lie down and have a non-alcoholic, cholesterol-helpful drink and think about it, I think. Thank you.
You could do that later. Don't do it now, because we've got one here.
Okay.
We've got one here from Dave. Dave says, "I've listened to the feedback about whether or when God deserves the credit, or we do. This has likely been pointed out by others, but here's my take." He said, "A good parent is thrilled when they hear their child being praised. I don't think, wait, I'm the one who should get all the praise. Actually, when someone does praise the parent for the achievements of the children, the parent frequently redirects the praise to the child. The parent knows better than all others how much effort, struggle and sacrifice their child has done over the years to reach their success, and honours that. Doing so gives the parent joy. The child knows better than all the others how much their success is due to the effort, struggle and sacrifice of their parents over the years, and in their better moments express that in praise and thanks to them. Why would we think God behaves any differently? If we saw a parent hogging the praise, we'd think less of them. I'd react similarly if I were to see God doing it." That's from Dave.
It's just great, isn't it? It's just sort of summed up the whole...
Yeah. Exactly.
A podcast episode in a few words. We could have saved everyone a lot of time with that.
We could.
Yeah.
Thanks,
perfect.
Dave.
Perfect.
If any other listeners would just like to sum up our things better than us, that would be terrific.
And in a nice way.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Rebecca, who said, "Hi, Joe. I've just finished listening to the latest podcast and found the comments about God getting praised for our work refreshingly honest. I used to find the demand to praise grating, especially when it involved happy music and I was in emotional pain. But in my journey to healing, I've discovered the reality that gratitude is amazingly good for optimizing mental health. Probably health of all kinds come to that. So actually, praising the divine is good for us. Praising, though not necessarily singing annoyingly happy songs. I find a good analogy helps me grasp things, and it seems to me that praise is a bit like the electrons in an electric circuit. They need to flow to have an effect. So we are all plugged in, and when we are expressing gratitude, love or joy to the divine, it's like switching on the circuit, pouring out only to find that we are filled up. I have to say I've experienced that working. And then she finishes by saying, your listener who quoted in him, we live and move and have our being, hit the nail on the head. It's not a question of praise God for the good, blame humans for the sin. But we do have a choice about whether and how much we let ourselves conduit love.
Mm.
Well, there you go. Let's be conduits of love, people.
That's a very helpful metaphor, again, you know, about keeping the circuit going. I do want to reiterate that my question was not about whether or not God deserves praise, really. It was about the collaboration or the sense of free will. But, I mean, I think that that is exactly right. Gratitude is part of that circuit board of love, isn't it?
And
if I knew how these things worked, I would explore that analogy more, I suppose.
So on the subject of collaboration, Jill wrote in and said, hi, Joe, really appreciate your thoughts on life in this week's episode. It was good to be reminded that we work in collaboration with God. When things don't go as we planned, we assume it is something that we have done wrong. But do you think sometimes that God allows things not to work out because it's not the right time or the right thing for us to do? Despite, as you both will know, you've put in all the hard work. I liked your idea that any acts of kindness show God to us. Until more recently, I have always struggled with the fact that many who would say they didn't follow God show many more acts of kindness and love to their fellow humans than all those sitting on the church pews. However, a good friend who is a Quaker pointed out to me that we are all made in God's image and that there is a part of him in all of us. I find that really helpful and grounding. As followers, we do not have the monopoly on kindness and love. And these acts do not make us superior or better than anyone else. Also, share your view on the news. We stopped watching it for a reason. Thank you both for all your hard work and preparing the podcast. And that's from Jill.
Thank you, Jill. Well, you've often said this, haven't you, about how you see God at work in people who, the old you would go, well, they're clearly outside the pale because they haven't done their exam questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's all about our understanding of the kingdom of God. Like, classic sort of evangelism was all about the exam, was all about transferring people into the kingdom of God,
exactly.
Passing that test and getting them in. But I really wonder whether it's about opening people's eyes to the fact they're already in the kingdom of God. You know, that the kingdom of God is surrounding them. What they need to realise is that they have a place in it.
Yeah.
That they're worthy of it. I've been writing a lot about the Beatitudes lately. You know, that's all about saying to a whole group of people who thought they were outside the kingdom of God, no, you're right in it.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Yeah.
And so what if it's not about helping them to pass the exam, but helping them to see where they are currently situated?
Preach it, brother. I love that. Of course it is. I mean, if you see Muslims, you know, who are doing kind, loving, wonderful acts, then you can affirm that the kingdom of God is there, or atheists, or any other group of people who you might have once upon a time thought was outside the kingdom of God, which is exactly what Jesus was doing in so many of his, well, actual interactions and some of his parables as well, for that matter. So, yeah, thank you, Jill. And then this in from Mark. He says, hi, Joe and Nick. In an effort to prevent me from having to choose what Bible passage to read, I've been reading A Year with Timothy Keller. Yesterday, he talked about the concept of a Stepford God. He says, like the wives who were changed so they were unable to contradict their husbands, we end up with a Stepford God if we do the same with the Bible by picking what we believe and rejecting the rest. That God cannot contradict us or our beliefs. Discuss. And then he says, keep up the good work. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, I think the question is sort of based around, you know, do we sort of cherry pick bits out of the Bible? You know, picking what we believe and rejecting the rest, I think.
Mean like Jesus and Paul did?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Everybody does it and everybody has always done it. And the people who always accuse you of doing it are doing it themselves often. I mean, Jesus did it in Nazareth. He quotes Isaiah and he just misses out the bit about wrath and anger.
Yeah.
Just decides not to talk about that bit.
Focuses on all the loving stuff and misses out the wrath.
Exactly. I don't want to be cynical, but in my experience, people who accuse me of picking and choosing out the Bible are usually focusing on Leviticus in some way or other.
Exactly.
To be honest. Well, we all pick stuff out of because you don't do half of it. But if we take what Keller is saying, as I understand it, he's sort of channeling Kierkegaard, who talks about, you know, how we have to wrestle with the bits of the Bible that we don't understand or which seem which seem hard to us, seem difficult to us, which I agree with. I think we do have to wrestle with them. But, you know, let's wrestle with all of it then in that case.
Yeah.
And not just some of it. Don't pick and choose your fights here. If we're not going to pick and choose, well, let's not pick and choose then. Let's struggle with a God who tells us not to murder and who tells us to forgive our enemies. And let's think, well, should that mean that we don't actually execute people or send arms to people or stop carrying guns? Yes. Maybe we should struggle with that one, because that's as much part of it as everything else, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what they want, I think a lot of these people, is they want us to struggle with and give in to the bits that they think are important.
Yes, exactly. The bits that they are prioritising that we would often push to the background rather than the foreground because they're not the direct words of Jesus. Yeah.
And if we're going to use this Stepford analogy or this analogy of a marriage relationship, well, it works both ways, doesn't it, if it's a marriage? Mm. In other words, well, shouldn't the Bible therefore struggle with me a bit? Don't I get a say, therefore? Yeah. In a marriage. Otherwise, all that this is saying is, well, the Bible is not a Stepford wife, but you are.
Yeah.
You know, you are. You've got to just shut up and obey whether or not you think it's okay.
Exactly. And more than that, I think there's an approach to the Bible here. What do you think the Bible is? Is it God? Is it just God and a one-way dialogue from God? Or is it a conversation about how humanity has understood what God is and who God is and what God is saying? Because that makes sense of all the genocide, that makes sense of all the other stuff that's going on that is pretty unpalatable. And I dare say, even, you know, God bless him, Timothy Keller has not been opposed to wearing the odd cotton polyester shirt, which is strictly forbidden in the Bible by God, it turns out.
On that, my brother sent me a video of a letter being read out by the comedian. I can't remember her name.
Sarah Pascoe.
Sarah Pascoe, which I will put a link in the show notes about. It's all Leviticus.
And I will put it on our Facebook page. It's very, very, very funny. Yeah.
So I think, yes, of course we have to struggle with the Bible. That's right. But actually, I think it's a bit of a rubbish analogy, if I'm honest. It's not like that. I mean, the Bible itself disagrees with itself. Anyway,
yes, exactly.
It does it all the time. And so, you know, the Bible is not God. God is not a hardback book. But it is a means of encountering God. And I think that's the key thing. So, yes, you know, I'm all for struggling. And I think we should struggle. We should be confronted with bits in the Bible that we don't find easy. Because you actually never know how those are going to transform you. And they may not transform you by just agreeing with everything it says, but they may transform you in other ways.
Yes. Well, I mean, amen and amen. I completely agree. And often I think when the Bible's talking about enemies and things, sometimes we've got to look inside at our own internal enemies as well and see, you know, stuff like that. We could talk about this endlessly, couldn't we?
Yes. And the key thing there is obviously, if we do find our internal enemies, we have to sort of drown them in the water, I think it was, or something like that. In praise, that's right. You drown them in praise, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It may work, I doubt it. Well, look, that seems like a fairly good place to call it a day. Thank you again. We've got lots more feedback to go through, but I think that's probably enough for today. But what do you make of that, folks? How do you see the Bible? Please send your emails to joe@midfaithcrisis.org. Love to hear from you, as always. But also, just to say thank you to everyone. I also particularly want to say thank you to people who give and who have given for some years. Do you know some people, Nick Page, have been given to this podcast for years? And, you know, we just said, look, just give us a little bit a month. That just makes such a difference. And it really does make a difference. So a particular bless you to everyone who falls into that category. But thank you for those that give one off. Thank you for those that recommend the podcast. Thank you to everyone who listens to it. We're still unsure why you would do that, but we're very grateful that you do.
And I'm sure that all of you have passed your exams.
Yes, exactly.